Turn with me to Luke 14 this morning. Luke 14, verse 15 to 24. Thanks to the creative team that did our table this morning. That's helping me preaching. Okay. So you might not be good at words, but if you want to preach and you want to be part of that, sign up for the creative ministry and you preach a sermon by just looking at this. But Luke 14, from verse 15 to 24, he says, "Now when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to them, 'Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God.' Then he said to them, 'A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say those who were invited, "Come, for now, for all things are now ready." But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, "I've bought a piece of ground and I must go and see. I ask you that you have me excused." And another said, "I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. I ask that you have me excused." Still another said, "I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come." Poor wife. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, and said to his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind." And the servant said, "Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room." Then the master said to the servant, "Go out into the highways and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of these men, or those men who were invited, shall taste my supper." Jesus talking about the heavenly meal, about the feast. It's got a twofold implication I'll explain now, but the reason why I have them here this morning is just to portray to you that one day when we get to Jesus and we have that feast, when we sit around the table, the people that will be sitting around the table will probably not be the ones that we would have invited to the dinner, to our own homes. Not that I'm saying I wouldn't invite them. All I'm saying is, let me just get this. I'm trying to make a point here, is that there's not such a thing as social class in heaven. Age gaps, all of that. God is just going to equal all of that. I had Bernard here in the first service. I don't have another one that's represented. That was just me, a pure example. Bernard was coming from the streets, you know, for 18 years. And we will sit together in heaven and have a feast together. There's not such a thing as social class or race or gender. We all will be equal, sitting here enjoying the presence of our Master. And I think for us, a lot of us, it will be a mind shift. That God, definitely thank God for bodies that you have to change and minds that you'll have to change. Because I think when we sit around the table and our eyes open, so this guy, he was my brother from DRC, and you know, I never reached out to him, and now he's sitting here, or other way around, people in our families that might be sitting at the table with us. And it's our responsibility that we walk in love. But thank you. You can take your seats unless you want to. I wanted to continue giving you the Apple Eat competition, but I won't do that now. I don't know who will win. I think the young youth, they are quite good with those kind of things. But, you know, we had a concert. Or let me put it this way, you know, we're in a phase in our lives where often when you look at the refrigerator on the outside, there's cards that we have, you are invited. That's the theme this morning, you're invited. But our kids, they go to these parties, children parties, often, you know, and it's Saturdays in the week. So the little invitation is on the refrigerator there, and they would talk about this party. They were like, "Can't wait to go to the party. We're going to play and we're going to have sweets and sweets and sweets and more sweets." That's why I think that's why the children will probably look forward to heaven. You know, they're going to have a feast. I don't know what will be this up, but the other night we had a concert here 2 weeks ago, and it was the school here at the back. They asked us, the little ones, if they can have a yearly concert here. So we said, "Yes, please do so. It's available." And I tell you what, I kid you not, at 6:45, this place was full, packed. We had to carry in all the white chairs we had. There was up at the back there, and then there was more people standing on the sides. Full this place. I'm standing there, God, 6:45. And people standing here can't wait. There's some kind of expectation and anticipation there with the parents. So God, I want that to be in church like that. I want it to be like that. And when you come late, you know you don't get a place. We are so hungry for God. We know we're going to miss out, you know, if we're not there in time. And you could see, sense it among the children, or among the parents, that expectation of tonight, I'm going to see my little one performing the act. And they were here with cameras and video cameras and all those kind of things. It was just going like that. And the video cameras, all of them, some of them had to bend over like that. But there was such an anticipation. And talking about parties, the other day I got an invitation. We don't get it as often anymore. We don't go to the children's parties. Well, I got this invitation from the police, the woman that's Johanna, that's in charge of the police here in Swakopmund. And I know it's from God, you know, just building a relationship. But she invited me to the ceremony when the Minister of Safety and Security came to open the police barracks here. Now, if you read, you can go and read that just before this chapter, or just before verse 15 that we just read now. We all read that article, that parable, about where Jesus says, you know, when you get to a place, don't take the most important seat. You know, you might be embarrassed. So we got there in Mondesa. Now they had this tent, and there's no big party. We have all the police, high-profile people there from Windhoek. So now they had this tent with all the chairs there for the guests, and then there was the podium where the people had to talk, and then behind him, about 2 feet higher, that lifted a few more chairs and another tent where all the most important people were sit down and look at us, the guests. So I got there early in time, and there's only a few people there. So I sat there waiting, and eventually they started turning up. But there were some of our brothers from the council. Well, I think they took their seats up there to fill the place. And I heard Johanna leaning over to one of them and said to him, listen here, I think you need to come up or come down from there and sit here between the guests. There's not enough space here. Please, the rest of the people, important people, still need to come. They want to take that seat. The police and the head and the minister, all of them. Yes, we will do. And then a few moments later, as I'm still waiting for them, she came to me, said to me, don't you want to go and sit there? I started laughing in my spirit. I said, God, this is just your words just playing off here before me. But, you know, that's exactly when sometimes we miss it. When the Bible told the story and I had this scenario, it was just, I just enjoyed the whole thing. I said, no, I'll just sit here. I enjoy it among these people. And sometimes those things happen to us. But I want to talk about a different thing this morning, about the feast that you've been invited to. When Jesus tells this parable, it's got twofold implication. He talks about the future, one day when we will sit down with Him in heaven and have a meal with Him. It also talks about the now, when we have an encounter with Christ, when He invites us to the table. In other words, when salvation takes place, when you get that place in your life, when you surrender your life to Christ and say, God, here I am. I'm a lost son. I'm that prodigal son. I want to go to the, or I want to meet you at the table. But then there's also another implication. There's a daily implication where we need to go to the table daily. You see, a once-off encounter is not enough. We cannot just meet Christ. We sit, have a nice time, and we never come back to the table. We never have fellowship together. We never come back and we sit around the table. I know we all make that mistake where we grab a bite and go and sit in front of the TV. We never sit around the, well, we make the mistake. I don't know about, some of us have really good family values. We sometimes struggle with that one where there's more important things and we just grab a bite and we all enjoy the television maybe, having a bite in front of the television. Where God says it's time to sit down at the table. It's time that we have communion. It's time that we look one another in the face like they say it's good to sit around the table as a family sometimes. And just, you know, when we have that habit of sitting around the table and say, how was your day? Because we can become so busy. We start watching the television and grab something and our attention is there. While God says, no, it's here at the table. as a father, I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you and see how your day was. Why are you struggling? What did you struggle? How was school today? At work? My question this morning, you see, the upper class Jews, they needed two invitations. The way it worked back then, or the culture, is you had to send an invitation telling them that the party is going to take place on the 25th of November in the Dunes. Please save the date. We do that with our weddings nowadays, I see. Save the date. So you get to save the date, 25th of November for the Dunes. But then on that day, when the food is prepared, the master will send out his servant and tell them, the food is ready, you can come. The food is ready. And we are told here, or we read here, that those people, they got the invitation. The first time, the second time when they got the invitation. You know, we have these cards. It says, you're invited. Some of us don't know that we have it. You can come and ask me. I'll give you some of that. We give that to everybody who wants. If you want to give it to somebody and a friend, invite them to church. The color details. So the second invitation will come to those Jews and to those that are important, to the ones that the master initially wanted to invite. They know the date. They know that date something will happen. And then the master will send his servant and tell him, now is the time. Come, sit down with me. Let's have a meal. And we're told that this happened. God, not now. Later, I'll come back to you later. Not now. I bought a few oxen. I bought a piece of land. I'm married, Lord. Not now. And the question I had to ask myself this morning is, in this week as well, how responsive am I to the invitation of the Holy Spirit daily in my life? See, it's not a once-off event. It's not just, God, I met you, and thank you for the bread. It was nice, the apples, I enjoyed that. But I can go on my own. I don't need any more of this food. That's enough. I like the experience. I like the experience on a Sunday, actually. The food that I get there on a Sunday morning is enough. I'll just go this week without food. Or maybe I'll just get a few nuts here. They say it's very tasty, and it will sustain me. God says, no, no, no. I want to have a feast with you every single day. I want you to sit in my presence every day. See, if we don't respond to the invitation of the Holy Spirit, listen to this, then the conviction will lift at one stage and you will not experience that anymore. I don't know when it will happen. It's different. Thank God there is grace. But I tell you that there's a time that we will reach where the conviction will lift. And especially, this happens especially, I've seen it so many times in services. We make an altar call for certain specific things, and there's a conviction, and you sit down and you know, I need that prayer. I need to make up. I need to stand up. I need to publicly declare. Matthew 10:32. Jesus says, for whoever confesses me before men, him I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will deny him as well. So we have these godly moments when the invitation goes out. And God says, you, I'm talking to you. That invitation is for you. I want the moment with you. I want that encounter. There's an presence of God that's just so strong at that moment. And then we think, God, I'll just do that later when I get home. I'm just going to get on my knees and I'm going to pray. And then we'll just sort this out in private between you and me. I don't want to embarrass myself in front of people. Yeah, I thought about this week. If Jesus was to stand in this room this morning, making invitation and asking us here this morning, who wants to choose me? Just for the fact to help us to make it a bit more visual. Who wants to choose me? I don't think anybody of us here today would not get up and raise our hands or anything. If we know he was standing here, yet we have the Holy Spirit in our building here, talking to us, giving out invitations daily, weekly, for encounters with him. And we sometimes just take that invitation. Not now, God. Maybe a little bit later. You know, and as a pastor, I have such a responsibility. I don't want to preach about myself, but this week, as I just again reflected upon this whole thing about invitation, because yes, I myself get these invitations where I have to get to the throne room, where I have to choose, am I going to take the invitation? God just have a moment with you. But at the same time, I'm standing at a place where sometimes I offer invitations. God's Spirit for me and all of us that's in the leadership position, maybe cell group, zone supervisor, or as a father, wherever you are fulfilling that role, where God uses you sometimes. Not only will we have to give account of every person that God has given us. Isaiah 8 verse 18 then talks about, here am I and the children, Lord, that you have given me. We will be standing for God, before God, and God will ask us, where's your children? Spiritual children, but also our family as parents. That is a very hard and strong scripture. You know, and that apart from the fact that I'll have to give account to the ones that God has entrusted me with, that also says that I'll have to testify against them. Now you might look a bit puzzled. What I'm trying to say to you is that, not that I am without sin, I'm not saying that this morning, for where God has placed me, for what I had to do. And God will say in that situation, Jan, did you have any opportunities to come to me, to sit down at the table? Say, God, never, no, I can't remember something. And then he might have to call me in and say, well, remember, we had that Sunday service. We had that moment when that word goes, can you just agree with me there? And when I think of moments like that, I say, God, help me that I would not have blood on my hands. Ezekiel 33, verse 6 says, and I'll read this to you, that says, but if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet and the people are not warned, then the sword comes and takes any person from among them. He is taken away in his iniquity. But listen, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. Not just me. All of us today that's standing at that place where we occupy a place of watchman. In this town, as intercessors, as a father, as a cell group leader, the children that God has given us. The watchman, you are looking over people, overseeing people. You are the watchman, you are the strong man. And God says, if we are going to be lazy, we're going to be blind, and the enemy comes in. Apart from the fact that God will deal with the person, he will require, or I'll have to give account of that. And may God help us to walk in such a way that there wouldn't be blood in our hands for our brothers and our sisters, and for the invitations that goes out daily. That we make sure that the fear of man doesn't come into our lives. That when God wants to extend the invitation, I'm just a channel so that my hands can be clean. To make that invitation, to invite somebody to the table. You see, the host invited them, and then all with one accord, they made an excuse. The one bought a piece of land, others, one bought oxen, the other one married a lady. But really, in essence, people, all our excuses can be categorized in only three categories. It's the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the pleasures of life. If we are really honest with ourselves, the excuses we offer unto God, we're just going to have an honest moment just where we are between me and God and ask God, this excuse I just offered because I can't sit down at the table with you. With my brothers and sisters. This may be just an excuse that is filling or being categorized in the pleasures of life. It doesn't suit me now. I just want to go and do something else. See, our excuses and our refusal to respond to invitation is just a reflection of the condition of our heart. You know, and then according to Deuteronomy 24 verse 5, interesting that the one man had the excuse, Lord, I'm married. I cannot come to the feast. And when we read Deuteronomy 24 verse 5, some of us might know that the Jewish people, for the first year that they were married, they were excused from war. From war, not from the feast. Isn't it interesting that I still see that we struggle with that one in church today? What am I trying to say to you? Can I preach to the singles. Maybe some of us that got married, we experienced the same kind of thing. We pray unto God, God, give me a woman or give me a husband. You know, I'm so desperate and that's my number one prayer request for a while till God fulfills that need or he meets that need. And then the rapture takes place at the same time as well, because that person just disappears. And you wonder, where's the person? No, but he needs more of my attention. I need to spend more time with him. Suddenly, God has blessed me so much that I just don't have enough time for him anymore. And I use this excuse, we have to bond, we have to spend time together, but not at the expense of the feast, not at the expense of God's table. So many of us are struggling with that. And I pray God for every single person in our congregation that God will help us to keep that priorities. And to make sure, God, when you bring the right person, the ridder op die wit perd, and the white horse, when you bring, I'll be faithful to what you called me. I'll be faithful to my values, to my morals, to the way I served you even before I met him. Not to compromise. But now, this is the 2012 version, you know. Same happens to when we get children. It's also families. Family is extended. God, I want children. And then God bless me with children. Suddenly, I don't have enough time anymore for the feast. Now, we sit down as a family. Family here. Not at home. Family here. We have certain things which we do. I'm not going to name that. We have certain things where it's important for us to have a feast together. And now those things become the excuse suddenly. God has blessed me so much. And somebody once said, God will never bless us in such a way, even with our work, that it will take you away of God. Then you need to wonder, what's wrong? Either my priorities are not right. I don't understand how to juggle this whole thing anymore. But God doesn't bless you to take you away from me. It's only to draw us closer. Our children, yes, it's a challenge sometimes, I know. But then we just need to sit down and say, God, I still want to do what I did. How can I just shift and adapt to that? I don't want to bring over guilt this morning. But you know, when God came to Adam, he said, Adam, what have you done? No, Lord, this woman you gave me. Not me, this woman you gave me. Adam, where are you? It's not that God didn't know where Adam was. God wanted Adam to know where he, or to be honest with himself. It's not that we serve a God that wanders looking, we're going through the Garden of Eden and now trying to find Adam. He's posing that question so that Adam can reach a moment of thinking for himself. Adam, where are you? And there's to some of us this morning where God is saying, Adam, where are you? We are not at the table. We are not at the places where God is given us the opportunity to sit around the table, to come into his presence. And we busy doing other kinds of things. And our affection to our relations might cause an hindrance to the things in the kingdom of God. You see, if our ears are open to the things of the world, then we will be deaf to the things of the kingdom of God. Then we won't hear the invitation because our ears are tuned into the world, the invitation of the world. But God says, I've prepared a table for you in the midst of your enemies. I want to sit down with you daily, have communion with you. Let's eat together. Let's talk about how you are doing. I know you're going through a difficult time, but I want to sit here as a father. I want to help you. I want to tell you what you need to eat in order to be stronger daily. I don't know. They say the most flat tires occur on Monday mornings and Friday afternoons. You know, all those excuses we have for not going back to work. And on a humor side, they say the top 10 most important excuses is, I forgot. No one told me to go ahead. I didn't think it was important. Wait until the boss comes back and then we ask him. Well, I didn't know you were in a hurry for it. That's the way it's always been done. That is not in my department. And the other one is, how was I to know this was different? I was waiting for an okay in the last one. It's not his job. Or that's not my job. And my job is his job. We have all these excuses not to sit at the table. And God wants us to sit there and just have a meaningful time. A time where we can just say, Lord, I'm just being honest with me now. Just being honest with you and myself. And really, Lord, I've been missing this, but God, help me to sit down at this table. And we know that the verse 17, I think he says there, when the second invitation goes out, he says, come now. Now the time is ready. Now the food is ready. We know we don't like cold food. So when mommy says the food is ready, you need to hurry up. Because now is the time when it's on its peak, when I enjoy it the most. And God says, now the time is ready. The food is ready. Come. And then they had all these excuses. And it reminds me of Acts 24. When Paul stands before Felix and he says to him, listen, and he's basically preaching to him about righteousness. He's talking about the way. And the word says that Felix was married to a Jewish wife. He knew, he was better informed about the truth. He had that foundation. He knew the truth. And then when Paul was preaching to Felix, Felix said to him, not now. He said, I'll do it at a later time, at a more convenient time. That's his word. More convenient time. I'll call upon you. Then we can talk about this again. I don't think he ever got that invitation again. That was a God moment when God had grace upon Felix's life. When an invitation was going out. When the now was offered. Now the food is ready. Now I want you to sit down with me. And God is talking to us as believers here this morning. Not just the once-off, like I say, some of us, we never had that experience sitting around the table. Yes, God's talking to us, but some of us, we never get to that table. We get to that table once, maybe a week. Or maybe we eat a little bit of that, grab a apple, and then we run. I say, I'll just go with that for this week. God wants us to have a feast daily. And I can promise you, I had many such moments like Felix. We got it to start working in my life. When I said to the Lord or the Holy Spirit, not now, let's just do it at a more convenient time. I'm so busy with this now. My own program. And God comes and isn't it interesting that God's time is most of the time not a convenient time. When He comes to us, it's right in the middle of my own business where I'm just minding my things and I'm so on a roll. And then God will stop me in that moment and says, can we just for a moment have that experience? Can you just reach out to that one? Just pray for that. Now is the time. Now is when I've prepared the feast for that person. I just want you to extend that invitation so that that person, like Felix and Paul, so they can have that encounter with me. Just partner with me. No, God, a little bit later. Not now, when it suits me. But verse 24 says, if we keep on rejecting the host, we can read it ourselves. Jesus said, they will not taste my supper. That's very harsh, but that is the reality. That is the truth. That we will reach such a place if we keep on rejecting the Holy Spirit, that the invitation will not go out anymore. And friends, I can tell you, we don't talk about this often, but Hebrews 12:17, I'll put it this way. It says, for you know that afterward, and he's talking about Esau, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. See, we think we can just come anytime. Yes, we can come. But there's a stage or place, and I don't know where it is. Thank God there's grace, but I'd rather not play with that. Where we will not find repentance. Well, the word says he sought it diligently with tears, but there wasn't a place of turning around. The invitation is not there anymore. And then we read in Matthew 13, verse 11, and I was reading it this week, I was just meditating upon that he says, he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance, but whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. Now it's talking about the truths. It's talking about that in moments we have with Christ. And you don't understand, we don't always understand why does the Bible say that there is God, that little will be also taken away from us. The only prerequisite for us to have an encounter with God is to be hungry. We're not hungry. We sit there, oh, just entertain me, God. I'll just do this just to get by. I promise you, we'll even lose what we have. We will not gather. We will not increase the truths, the jewels that we have, the food that God has placed on the table for us to enjoy. And we will not enjoy that anymore because we're not hungry. Blessed are those who are so hungry that God can fill the plate, that God can give more. The moment you come into His presence, then God says, I see you've got so much, but I want to give you more. There's not a month end in God's house where you feel, you know, I just wait for payday so I can buy more food. God doesn't have that on the table. There's always enough in His presence. And I'm talking about spiritual things here this morning. I don't want to go down the financial side. We can do that another day. I'm talking about having an encounter with God. Are you having a feast this morning? Or are you living in a famine? Are you living in a place where it feels so dry? God, I just have a bit of these crumbs like that lady. And I maybe live from crumbs. That's my diet. I just spend these times, little bits of time with you. And that like that lady that said to Jesus, Lord, I'll just even have the crumbs. How's your spiritual diet looking this morning? How's your plate looking this morning? When we look at our plates. I know as parents, and the mothers, they know even better. I think our fathers, we still, for us it's easy, but you know what's the best for your child. You try and dish up, and they don't always like what you dish up on the plate. Two years ago, I had to give the daughters breakfast. Joanne was still busy, and she was upstairs, and she said, just feed them, give them something for breakfast. She came down, she asked me, what did you give them for breakfast? I said, okay, they had biltong and drawers, and she almost like... She said, no, they had to, need to get porridge and stuff like that. But I know, us as fathers, we don't always know the best, although I thought I knew the best there. But God's like that as well. He will dish up something in our plate, the broccoli that we don't want to eat sometimes. But God knows, you eat that because it will sustain you. That's the value of getting into the presence of God, sitting around the table, having a home cell where the table is set for a feast, and a brother speaks something into my life. He gives me a bit of broccoli that I don't like at that moment. But God knows I need that word to sustain me, to purify me, to get me out of that place, out of that pit. But if I never take up that invitation or I never become hungry, how am I ever going to get to that place where I'm free and clean and purified? Because I never get into His presence. I never get to sit down with Him. I'm just always so in a hurry. I just always have excuses to offer. You see, all of them, none of them said, God, I don't want to. I will not. They said, Lord, I'll do it, but. The moment the but kicked in, they offered the excuse. And many times, if we are really honest with ourselves, our excuses, it's not a case that we don't, or we will not. It's a matter of us. There's this thing in our heart. But we don't really believe that it's good to sit at the table. So now we offer the excuse, but we need to come back to the heart issue and say, Lord, it's actually a matter of I will not. I know we don't agree with that this morning. When God says it's time to sit at the table, and I offer up an excuse, but I can't cause this and this and this. It's not about that. It's not about your work, that you are too busy. It's just because deep, deep, deep down in my heart, I really don't believe in this feasting. I don't really believe in sitting together with my brothers here. So now I offer up the excuse, and I need to come to God and say, God, help me with this heart of mine. I've got this heart that don't want to. And I know you see that. Help me change that heart of mine that I want to. I don't offer up any excuses when you set the table for me to have a feast. God doesn't want us to live in a spiritual famine this morning. It can end today by us just taking up that invitation. I don't know where you're finding yourself or where you're sitting this morning. And many of us, we don't come to the table because we just have this guilt upon us. So God, I cannot sit here. Look at what I've done this week. I feel like that prodigal son. I feel like the one that's just messed in the pigsty. I've been there. God says, I'll clothe you with a new robe. Sit down. You're worthy. I'll put a ring on your finger as a sign of authority. And we had such things in the first service where God was dealing with ladies that of a past where the enemy comes to tell you, you're not worthy, you can't sit, you're too dirty. You can't sit at the table. Look at the other people, they look at you. And that's just a lie from the enemy to tell us, to keep us away from the presence. Can I promise you, when God clothes you with a new rope and he speaks truth into you or my life, and he sits down and he says to you, you know, I love this. I love you. I missed you. It's such a good time just to be in your, with you here. I don't know about you, but I treasure moments like that in the presence of God. Daily when God whispers those things into my ears, my spiritual ears. And God, I just enjoy this time. God, I just enjoy the fact that you love me. We're having a feast this morning. My house is quiet. My children sleep. My wife is busy there. We're having a feast. And there's places where we have it together, but there's places where we have to have that feast. God, I want that feast. It's not famine. It's not a drought this morning. God says there's a feast. The table is set this morning. And in closing this morning, can I have this music? I know I have to be obedient to God this morning because there was one word that I received this week and I was just battling with that word because I knew it was such a hard word. And as a pastor, I've been praying for people the last, I would say, month, 6 weeks. Never God has made me more aware of people busy slipping away. Some of our people, brothers and sisters. And I believe God is putting people in your heart as well that's busy slipping away and you can see. If I don't intercede, I'll be like that watchman that sees the things happening and it's busy happening till the place where the enemy comes and take them out. God says to me, said to me on Thursday night after we came from cell group, it just shook me, you know, it shocked me at that moment when I heard the Lord say to me, there's some of us in our group where the last invitation has already been offered. And we have this thing about grace. We just think, God, I'll just do it another day. Maybe I'll just take the invitation another day. My friend, I'm not here to tell you that you're going to get 2 or 10 or 12 invitations. I don't know where we are. Each one of us are different places in our relationship with God. But I'd rather not play with grace. I cannot preach to you this morning knowing how many invitations going out, but I know there will be a place, there will be a time when we play so much with those things, when the invitation will not go out anymore. And then he will turn and go and fill the room and invite others to the table and say, I've wasted enough time of me. Thank God there's grace for that. I think if we as men had to do that invitation, many of us would miss the mark. But thank God for grace. I want to say to you this morning, God's grace is still here this morning. The invitation is still going out to say, come and have a meal with me. Sit down with me. Forget about the past. Let me clothe you this morning. And let's have a feast together. I close with the scripture. Luke 22. Jesus is sitting with his disciples having the Passover meal just before he's been crucified. And he says to them, with fervent desire, I love that word, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. I want to say to you, my brother and my sister, God's got a fervent desire to sit down with you and me, to look you into the eye and say, God, my friend, I love you. Let's talk about your life this morning. Let's talk about where you are. Let's talk about your spiritual plate this morning. Your plate empty this morning? Let's close our eyes. Lord, we thank you this morning for grace. Oh God, we thank you for invitations that go out right now as I'm talking, Lord, through this service. I know, Lord, that you've been talking to people, Lord, about that invitation that we offer up excuses, Lord, when you invite us to the table. And when you say no, now, Lord, we have a more convenient time. God, we just want to repent of that. God, of all the moments we missed when we were like Felix, we had a Felix moment when we offered an excuse and we said, at a later time, at a time when it suits me, God, it's all about the me, and I just want to lay down this morning, Lord. So God, let it be about your timing, the now, when the food is ready, and you invite us to the table. And Father, I pray this morning for some of us that might be sitting here this morning, we never had that encounter. We never were at that place where we sat down with you, Lord, and you've been offering invitation after invitation, and we looked you into the eye. We turned around and we walked away from you. Oh God, may your grace be extended to them one more time. Father, I pray for everyone this morning that experienced that tug this morning in their heart, Lord, not to reject you, myself included this morning, Father, when you come, Holy Spirit, to invite us to the table on a daily basis, Lord. May my ears not be open to the things of the world so that I miss the call of the kingdom of God. Amen. I want us to stand and sing that song, Come All Who Are Thirsty. If you feel that you need prayer this morning, you are welcome. The Lord bless you. Thank you.
All who are thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain. Dip your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy. As deep cries out to deep, all who are thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain. Dip your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy. As deep cries out to deep, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus. The fountain, dip your heart in the stream of life, let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy. As deep cries out to deep, deep cries out to deep, as deep cries out to deep, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus. Jesus, come and fill us, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, come and fill us, Lord. Holy Spirit. Lord, Holy Spirit. All who are weak, come to the fountain. Dip your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away. The waves of His mercy as deep cries out to deep. Come, Lord Jesus, come and fill us, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, come, we hunger for You, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, come and fill us, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, come, we thirst for You, Lord. Come as we long for You, Lord. Stream of life, let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy as deep cries out to deep. Come, Lord Jesus, come. You are the bread of life. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, You are the living water. Come, Lord Jesus. You are the living word. Come, Lord Jesus. We thirst for You, Lord. As the deer pants for water, come, Lord Jesus, come.
I don't want to close the service. What I want us to do, you can turn to a friend this morning before we go here, and maybe we can pray together in closure there. I want you to ask that person, how's your spiritual diet looking? How's your plate looking this morning? Some of us maybe still have an empty plate this morning. God wants to make sure that you fill that plate this morning. And if you know that plate is empty this morning, I want you to pray with a friend to the person. Say, my plate is empty this morning. I didn't get to the table often. Help me. Let me keep myself accountable for that. I have that excuse of the oxen or the land or my family, but I need to get to the table. Shall we do that? The Lord bless you. Thank you.
Everything that has breath, praise.